Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. Today's guest is Jeff Tate, legendary vocalist. And I'm not going to waste much time. Let's get right into this interview. This is all about Jeff Tate today. This is Wake Me Up by Operation Mindcrime off the new album, A New Reality, the third of the trilogy, and Jeff's going to tell us all about that. So just stay tuned, and we'll also talk about the album Operation Mindcrime in this interview. So here we go. This is Wake Me Up by Operation Mindcrime featuring Jeff Tate.
Let it go. Shut, I can't only hear my bones. Check one, two. Check one, two. Hey, it's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal and calling in on the line, Jeff Tate. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great, and congratulations on the brand new record, the new reality, the new Operation Mindcrime record, the third of the trilogy. You've finally reached the end of this epic trilogy, this journey that you've been on for the past 3 years at this point. How does it feel to finally release the final chapter of this trilogy? Is it a relief?
Yeah, it really is. You know, I didn't realize what a relief it would be till the day I turned it in to the record label. And I felt this huge weight lift off my shoulders because, you know, it's had this looming deadline, you know, and there's a lot of material here. There's a lot of work and a lot of wonderful collaborations with people making up these three records. But when I finally turned it in, I really breathed a sigh of relief, and I actually sat around for like a week afterwards, not doing anything.
Good for you.
Which is really unlike me, because I'm kind of a workaholic, you know. My wife actually came to me and said, "Are you okay?" Because she wasn't used to seeing me lay around unless I was like ill or something, you know.
Right.
So yeah, it feels good to be finished with the project. I really enjoyed working on it, and I'm glad it's out and done now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you will be going on the road to support it a little bit, right?
Yeah, I'll be touring. I start touring January 11th in Dublin, Ireland, and I'll be in Europe till April, and then I start in North America in the fall, 2018.
Now, on the two previous records, Resurrection and The Key, you had lots of guest musicians and guest stars on those records. Can you talk about some of the musicians who are playing with you on the new reality and any guest stars that you might have?
We recorded the whole record all at once.
Right.
The three albums were all recorded a couple years ago, the basic tracks for them all. And so it's the same players, you know, on all three records, although we have on the last record, we had Ripper Owens and Blaze Bailey that were on one of the songs. And they're not on this new record, of course, but
right.
The same basic musicians were on all three records.
Awesome. And, you know, I wanted to ask you also about the band Operation Mindcrime. Now that the trilogy is done, I know you're going to do some touring behind it, but is this the conclusion of the Operation Mindcrime band, or will it continue and possibly release other records down the road?
Well, this project will come to an end. This is the last of the projects with this group, and we're all off doing other things after this.
Okay. So in the future, if you were going to do another record, I know this record just came out, so it's probably too soon to talk about that, but you would release it under possibly your name, like a Jeff Tate record, or would it, so it wouldn't be released under the Operation Mindcrime record?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, I honestly don't know what I'm going to do in the future. At this point, I'm sort of enjoying being a free agent, you know, kind of floating around doing different things. I've been doing some guest appearances on other people's records, and I've been doing some tour dates with other people. I played with Avantasia and Angra lately.
Cool.
And that's been really great. I've been really enjoying that.
And as far as recording with other people, you mentioned that you've been doing some guest spots in the studio with other bands.
Yeah, I was on the last Avantasia album, Ghostlights.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Do you know about that band?
I don't know a lot about them, but I know the name. I've read their name on blogs and stuff. I need to get turned on to them more than I am.
Yeah, it's really cool stuff. Very very cool music.
Cool. I'll definitely check it out. And, you know, Operation Mindcrime is about to turn 30 years old. When you look back on what's become just this epic historic rock record, what memories? Do you have good memories of going in the studio to do that? Because I remember reading that at the time, the band was, there were a lot of things going on, a lot of drama with management and label and stuff like that. And a lot of that anger you hear on that record came out of some of the frustrations you were having in your life at that time. Is that accurate? And are there, what kind of memories do you have about recording that record? Was it a pleasant experience?
Yeah, it was a really pleasant experience, actually. I wouldn't say that there was a lot of anger revolving around those things that you mentioned
okay.
so much at that time. We had kind of gotten through our growth period with our former management previous to that with the Rage for Order album. And we had just signed on to a new management company, Q Prime, for the Operation Mindcrime album. And it was a very inspiring time. I had written the story and the some of the music tracks for the record before I brought it to the band. And the biggest problem at the time was convincing the band to go with this record idea that I had.
Right.
But, you know, after a little while of convincing them, they jumped on the idea, and we continued to make the record and went to Canada to record it, and went to Holland, Amsterdam to work on it there, and worked on it a bit in Philadelphia and in Seattle as well. It really good memories, you know, going to wonderful studios we worked in with some really creative people being involved. We worked again with Michael Kamen from the orchestral standpoint, and James Barton from the recording and mixing standpoint, and Peter Collins from the producing standpoint. Paul Northfield was in on the record, who of course had worked a lot with Rush. And yeah, we had wonderful experiences making that record. We were skiing in Quebec,
nice.
Day skiing before the sessions and night skiing after the sessions.
Nice.
It was a good time.
Nice. And did you have the sense that when you were in the studio and that record was coming together, that, wow, this is really something special. This is really something really different and unique. Did you have that sense, or wasn't it? Because I know that when the reviews came out and the people, the public heard it, that was the sense that the reviewers got. That's the sense the fans got, like myself. But did you feel that you were really onto something special when you were recording the record?
No more than any other record.
Okay.
I think as a writer, you know, you feel, you know, you like what you do typically, or you wouldn't do it. And, I was really at the time very much into the record and, excited about it, you know, and very happy with the way it turned out. I remember I was very happy with the way the record sounded, and we just finished the mix on it. And we turned it into the record label, and they hated it.
Really?
Oh God,
wow.
They hated it. It was one of the first digital albums ever made.
Wow.
And people weren't used to hearing digital music at that time, which by comparison, listening to analog music, analog was very warm, and you know, it didn't have a lot of high end, and digital at that time was incredibly hard. I mean, it was just like nails, right? And we had sort of embraced that in the studio and thought, well, this is the way, you know, a hard rock metal album should sound. You know, it should sound hard and harsh and brash, you know, which it did. But the EMI just, it was too much for them. They made us go back and kind of tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, wow. That's interesting. And will you be going on tour to celebrate the 30-year anniversary of that record? Are you going to do anything special to celebrate the?
Yeah, I am actually. My tour starts January 11th in Ireland, and I'm going to be playing the album in its entirety for the first hour of my show, and then kind of revisiting. You know, past works. This new album of mine is my 18th album. Can you believe it?
Wow, that's great.
18 records.
Nice.
I know, it's crazy. I didn't realize I had so many records.
Cool. And Chris DeGarmo obviously was an enormous part of the band back in those days. Do you have contact with him anymore? Have you heard from him?
I don't. No, I haven't spoken with him in many years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wonder what he's up to. Anyways, I wanted to also mention, you know, the band Iron Maiden, when they put out the Seventh Son record, there's this quote in this book that I have that it's written by Martin Popoff, and it's from a Bruce Dickinson interview, and he basically says that what you guys did with Mindcrime was what they were trying to do with the Seventh Son record. And he in the interview, he says he put his head in his hands and he was just like kind of blown away, and that's a quote, by what you guys were able to do with it, and also felt bad because he felt Iron Maiden could have done something as good if they would have pushed themselves a little bit harder. And, you know, I was just wondering, because there had been some stuff in the press lately, Bruce Dickinson talking about this Three Tremors thing, like what your relationship was with him through the years, because it seems like he really was a fan. And again, it's in the 2 Minutes to Midnight book by Martin Popoff. It's on page 112, if anyone wants to verify this, with him just raving about Queensryche. And so I just found it kind of odd that he was... In a recent interview with Eddie Trunk, seemed to be implying that this Three Tremors thing didn't happen because he was forced to work with you. Any comments on that?
Well, I don't know what he said, so it's difficult for me to comment.
Well, he says, you guys, that his manager was insisting that he work with you and Rob Halford on a Three Tremors project, and that for whatever reason it didn't work out. But he does say that a lot of the songs that he wrote for this Three Tremors project ended up on one of his solo records. And I was just wondering if you did any actual work with him on this Three Tremors thing that never materialized.
No, not at all. No.
No.
As far as I remember, it was with the three of us were all touring together at the time.
Okay.
Queensryche and Iron Maiden and Rob Halford's solo project. And we were all at dinner one night, and Rod Smallwood, the manager of Iron Maiden, stood up after, now this is, you know, many rounds of drinks by this time,
right, sure,
past dessert menu time, you know. He stands up and he goes, "I think that we should have a band of Bruce and Jeff and Rob, and we should call it the Three Tremors. What do you think?" And this was based upon his previous conversation with the waiter,
yes,
who told him that the album that we were listening to on the stereo system at the Italian restaurant was the Three Tenors opera group. You know?
Right, right.
So I thought, and everyone around me thought, that he was sort of making fun of the situation, you know? And, anyway, in just good nature tour fashion, we all stood up and, you know, toasted the idea, and then we drank more rounds.
Yeah.
And that's as far as it ever got, as far as I remember.
Okay. So there was no songwriting or anything like that. It just was
basically
nothing. Talk, and never ended up happening.
Never ended up happening. But you know what's funny is I think every round of interviews I've done with every release since around that time has asked me that question about,
yeah,
the project. When's it going to come out?
Yeah.
It's never coming out, because it was never done. It's like nothing ever happened, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was flattering that he was very much into the Operation Mindcrime album at the time. And I remember Eddie Jackson, our bass player, coming into someplace we were, I can't remember where we were at the time, but he had a magazine in his hand, and there was a picture of Steve Harris, bass player for Iron Maiden. Steve was wearing a Queensryche tour T-shirt.
Oh, wow!
And Eddie was all happy about that, because he was a fan of Steve Harris's work, so he was very happy about that.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. And did you guys tour? You toured with Maiden then, back in those days.
We did.
Numerous
we
times,
toured.
Right?
A couple times. The first time was, maybe 84, 85. We played a series of shows with them in New York at Radio City Music Hall. That was the first time. And the second time, it was a U.S. tour. I can't remember exactly what parts of the country, but a good section of the country where we got kicked out of a country club for drunken behavior one night after golfing all day. Wow. But that's another story.
Yeah. Very interesting. Great stuff. Jeff, I really appreciate you dealing with me tonight. We had some technical issues getting started here, so I appreciate your patience with that. And I want to encourage all the Talking Metal listeners to check out The New Reality, what sounds like the last album by Operation Mindcrime, of course, featuring Jeff Tate. And Jeff, we can't wait to see you out on the road doing the Operation Mindcrime in its entirety in 2018. Do you think you'll bring that through the States, that tour?
Yeah. In the fall of 2018, we'll be beginning North America at that time.
Awesome. Can't wait for that. You have a great night.
I will. You too, Mark. Thanks again for hooking up. Appreciate the interview, man.
The Needle Lies by Queensryche. Wow, so good. So epic. I feel like I always feel nervous when I talk to Jeff Tate. I don't know. I just always clam up whenever I'm doing an interview with him. So there's another one for you right there where I clam up. So yeah, man. You know what? Part of it was I was having technical issues. My Skype updated, and then I went to call him, and the recorder wasn't working. So that's also why the interview's on the short side. I had 30 minutes with him, but spent the first 15 minutes scrambling trying to get my call recorder working. So freaking Skype. Anyways. Thanks for listening to that, and thanks for supporting me on Talking Metal. Make sure you use our Amazon links on talkingmetal.com and talkingrock.net, and support us on Patreon. Join me there, guys, with a monthly pledge. Also, PayPal donations. My PayPal is my email. It's Strigelmark, that's Strigelmark, at gmail.com. I'd love to get a phone message from you guys. Leave me a phone message, okay? I'm going to play them real soon on the podcast. The number is 973-757-1917. All right, that does it for now. This is a little more Queensryche to take us out. Jet City Woman. All right, talk to you next time, guys.
Touching your face, I feel the heat of your heart.